Well, good morning, church. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
It's so good to see you. Is it good to see me?
Yes.
All right. I am excited to have the opportunity to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning. And I wanted to start off by asking a question. Have you ever been in the middle of a situation or a circumstance and had a moment where you had the total realization that God was orchestrating what was happening while you were in the middle of it happening? If you've ever been in the middle of a situation and you realize that God was orchestrating it, would you lift up your hand real quick? Take a look around. This happens a lot. You can put your hands down. Thank you. This happens a lot more than people realize. It looks different to different people sometimes, though. You might be trying to get your kids in the car to go to school, and someone can't find their shoes. Or maybe you go out to go to work and you have a flat tire and you spend 10 or 15 minutes getting things resolved so you can get on the road, only to discover that 10 minutes down the road there's been an accident. And you start doing the math in your head and you think, you know, if I'd got out of the house on time, I would have been right there right about the time that took place. Maybe it's one of those situations where you're walking through a store or hanging out with some people, and you hear someone say something, they discuss a problem, and you have the ability to resolve that problem. Maybe you have a skill or a talent or something that they are in need of, and you realize in that moment that it's not coincidence, it's God's providence that has led you and put you in the perfect position to be able to do what God wants you to do. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're going to be talking about today. The leading of the Lord, God positioning us. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the message is entitled GPS, God's Positioning System. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, my prayer is that as the word is going forth today, it would explode in our hearts like dynamite, God, that we would realize that it is you that positions us for many of the things that we do in our lives, God, and that, Father, you are masterful at orchestrating events, and we can rest in your positioning system. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
Amen.
Well, for those of you that brought your Bibles, I have a passage of scripture, actually a verse I want to share with you to start off. And this comes from Psalm 37, verse 23. And it says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways." God positions us a lot more than we realize, a lot more than we often, sometimes we take it for granted. But as believers, as followers of Christ, we need to be aware, we need to be conscious, we need to be looking for the opportunities where God is positioning us, because we are his ambassadors to this lost, sick, dying, hurting world. And he has placed something so powerful, so beautiful inside of us. But we have to look for those opportunities to let the light shine. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start off. The first thing I want you to be aware of today is that God positions us through leading. You might be saying, Doug, what does that mean? I hear people say, I was led by the Lord. Does that mean that Jesus is taking you by the hand and walking? The leading of the Lord can come in a lot of different ways. It might come as a feeling or an impression. Maybe God just reminds you about a neighbor that has need of something, or tugs on your heartstrings to give that friend a call that you haven't talked to in a couple of years. The Lord leads us in many different ways. Someone was saying, well, Doug, can you unpack that a little bit and discuss some of the different ways that God leads us? We're going to break this down into several different areas. And the leading of the Lord, God's positioning system, is not exclusive to these areas. These are just a couple of the ways that God directs us. Sometimes God positions us through unctions and feelings. Sometimes God positions us through dreams, both in our sleep and in our heart. Sometimes God positions us through challenges. Sometimes God positions us through words. Now, for those of you that have grown up in church, you've probably heard a lot of the Christianese terms, but if someone didn't grow up in church, when they hear the word unction, they might think, what exactly does that mean? Maybe you've been in church, but you've heard people use that term, I felt the unction of the Lord. And you understood what they were implying, but you're thinking to yourself, what really does that actually mean? Webster's defines unction as the act of anointing as a rite of consecration or healing and something used for anointing. I personally like the explanation of anointing, of unction, that's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It's a great example, and it says this. As you know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I like to look at the unction of the Lord or the anointing as God's presence and ability to empower you to do something. God can empower you to do things that are impossible. Oh, come on, church. That was a great amen opportunity right there. God can empower you to do things that are impossible. Sometimes we just have to be willing to step out. Sometimes we have to just be willing to believe that although we can't do these things in our own strength, in our own power, that with God's power, all things are possible. God orchestrated our steps last weekend. I feel really all of these different things that we're going to be talking about today, they kind of work together in concert. And it was really an awesome, beautiful thing. And for those of you that are friends with me and are connected with me on social media, you saw this play out real time. But last weekend was tax-free weekend. And for those of you who went shopping, I'm so glad to see that you survived. Man, I don't know about you, but it was like watching the Hunger Games. People were fighting over garments. It was just craziness, but we all survived. We actually went down to Austin, Texas. We were spending some time with family members, having a great time. We were trying to knock out some shopping, and we had some very specific things that we were looking for on our shopping list. Now, shopping to me, I've got like a threshold of a couple hours. If I have to shop past a couple hours, I need like Starbucks or something just to keep the positivity flowing. But we had been shopping for a couple of days, trying to knock out all of the things that were on our punch list as we're rolling into this new season. And I rose up one morning to get dressed to go shopping with the family. And as I was getting ready, I felt the unction of the Lord, the presence of the Lord there in the room with me. And I started thinking, well, Lord, is there something that you want to speak to me? And I felt like God was leading me to wear this shirt that I had. Now, this shirt says, I serve a miracle-working God. May I pray with you? So I was like, all right. And I put the shirt on. And then I felt the still small voice on the inside of me say, a minister is going to come comment on your shirt. And I want you to share a word with him. Trust the transition. So we go about our activities, man, and we shop and shop, and we're not finding, like, hardly any of the stuff that we're looking for, and it was a really kind of a frustrating, exhausting experience. After, like, 10 or 11 hours of shopping, I was cashed. I was done. I could have put a pillow in the car and sacked out, but we had one more stop that we were supposed to make, and we had to go to Kohl's. So we're not from Austin, so we pull up our GPS. And Jessica pulls up the different Kohl's, and she goes, which one of these should we go to? And I said, I don't know, just pick one. So she picked the one. Now, little did we know, there was a Kohl's literally like a couple of blocks from where we were at. But God was positioning us. So we ended up driving across town to this other Kohl's. Now, at this point, I guess as a disclaimer, I should say I felt about as spiritual as a sack of potatoes. I just wanted to get in, see if they had what we wanted, and get out and go home and crash out. The Lord had spoke this word to me earlier in the day, so I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe someone to walk up with a clergy collar on or a 2-foot cross identifying themselves. Hello, I'm a minister. Do you have a word for me? That didn't happen. And we go into Kohl's and we actually found the thing that we're looking for. So I was checked out, but I'm standing in line with my family. And all of a sudden, one of the cashiers goes, "Ooh, let me see that shirt." And I thought, no clergy collar, no cross. And I walked up to her and I said, "You know, when people comment on this shirt, I generally like to ask them if there is anything that I can pray with them about. But before I do, can I ask, are you a minister?" And this woman lets out this gasp. Now, she was shocked, and she immediately started trying to cram like a 15-minute conversation into 30 seconds there, and I stopped her, and I said, "Before you tell me any of this, I don't want to mess this up. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a word with you, and that word is to trust the transition." And the look on that woman's face was worth $1 million. Man, her jaw dropped. And keep in mind, I'm aware of the fact that she's working the register here at Kohl's. I'm trying not to get her in trouble. But at that point, she didn't give a rip, man. We were having church there in the checkout line at Kohl's. And she had herself a little mini praise break and was just trying to share all these things. And this other woman walks up to us and goes, "I can see the glory of the Lord on you." And I'm thinking, Holy Ghost, man, we're having church up in here. So I prayed with these ladies, and she shared some things with me. Jesus would lift up, and it was awesome. What I want you to know is that God's greatest motivation is love. This woman was in a season of her life where she felt God calling her to transition into ministry. And she was taking classes to become a chaplain. So what I want you to know is that whenever you're in the middle of a transition, there are going to be some times that you might question if you're making the right decision. You might, maybe y'all guys know it all and y'all are like, I know exactly what I'm doing. This is the transition. For me, whenever I'm making a transition in my life, sometimes I'm like, Lord, is this surely what you want for me? Am I doing the right thing here? So, you know, I'm taking this as a season of prayer. God loved that woman so much that he had someone drive 2.5 hours, go to a completely different store to confirm that she was doing exactly what he wanted her to do. And that is my Jesus. The way that the word was phrased, I was thinking this is a three-word word of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we, in our natural understanding, I just didn't know that that would have the impact on her that it did. But the way that the word was phrased was meaningful. The timing was definitely meaningful. Now, I want to let you know that after the 10 or 11 hours of shopping that had taken place, the truth of the matter is I was not in any condition in my natural thinking to minister, to give her a word. But frankly, we have a whole lot less to do with it than we sometimes think that we do. There are sometimes that God just kind of puts us on manual override because he has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny that he wants to get. So I say all that to say that sometimes you just need to simply be willing to allow God to position you and to direct you and to listen to that still small voice and simply be willing to step out of the boat. As followers of Christ, we need to trust God's positioning system. Now, it's easy to trust God when he's asking you to do something that you want to do or something that you can tell with your natural eyes is a comfortable, wonderful situation. But sometimes God positions us through challenges. And I feel like that this is a word that the Lord wants to get across to you, because whenever we were doing that song, Walking Through the Fire, I felt the unction of the Lord. Yeah. Now, this is not a word that people typically get excited about hearing when they don't have a challenge going on. But whenever you're in the middle of the fire, yeah, When you're in the middle of the flood, when you're in the middle of the storm, this may not be the word that you want to hear, but it sometimes is the word that you need to hear. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, this might rock some of your theology a little bit. It says this, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry." Some people misunderstand this verse. They say, well, Doug, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to pray, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one." Did God tempt Jesus? Did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into temptation? And the answer is no. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for fasting and prayer. Satan was the one who was doing the tempting. And the reason that I want to draw attention to that is because I want you to understand this principle. When you follow the leading of the Lord, when you allow God to position you, that does not exempt you from temptation or testing. Now, sometimes God uses the challenges. Sometimes he uses the uncomfortable situations. And if Jesus was not exempt from these temptations, if he was not exempt from these trials, then what makes us think that we will be too? Now, if you were told that becoming a Christian means that you're never going to face a difficulty and never face a challenge, never face a trial, you're on a collision course with your faith here. It doesn't mean that you'll never face these things. It just means that you'll never face these things alone. In Jesus' name. Now, church, I usually, whenever I'm crafting a message, I usually clearly define my points, but I'm kind of bouncing in between challenges and dreams here. And sometimes when you have dreams, you face challenges. And sometimes when you have challenges, they birth dreams. So I'm going to be bouncing back and forth in between dreams and challenges here. God positions through dreams. I want to talk about Joseph for just a brief moment here. In Genesis chapter 31, God gives Joseph this dream that he is going to rise from his brothers and become a ruler. Now, God will often birth a dream in your heart, but sometimes when we share that dream with other people, they hate us for it. And that's one of those challenges that sometimes people have a hard time navigating. Yes, I got this dream, this vision from God, and they share it. And then the response is less than spectacular. Joseph's brothers heard his dream, and they responded by selling him into slavery. But he kept this dream alive in his heart. Then, as a slave, he's wrongfully accused and thrown into prison. But he keeps this dream alive in his heart. He's given this wisdom to interpret these people's dreams. And he thinks, surely this is God's deliverance. And he keeps this dream alive in his heart only to be forgotten and left in prison. Let's get real. This was not a comfortable situation for Joseph. He was left in prison. And it was the darkest moment of his life. But church, hear my voice. In the middle of the darkest moment of his life, in the middle of the greatest test of his faith, that is when God brought his dream to pass. So whenever you're walking through the fire, whenever you're walking through the flood, whenever you're sitting there in the middle of the stream and it's raging all around you, know that sometimes that moment that seems so dark is the darkest right before your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Look at someone and say, your breakthrough is right around the corner. Oh, come on. Y'all guys are going to do better than that. Look at your other neighbor and say, your breakthrough is around the corner. So, God fulfilled his dream and brought promotion, but this was only after years, not days, not weeks, not months, after years of difficulty, of challenges, of testing. Like I said, that's not a word that people want to hear, but sometimes it's a word that people need to hear. Sometimes you need to know that that test is for a purpose. And the beautiful thing about God is when we fail the test, we get to take it again. And I've come to this realization that if you will allow anything to hold you back in your worship, if you will allow anything to hold you back in your relationship with God and your prayer life, you can almost always count on that thing being there. But the moment that you set your forehead as a flint and resolve that I don't care if all hell breaks loose against me, I'm going to worship the King. When you get to that point, it's interesting. And I don't know if it's because we just condition ourselves to get tough or what, but those challenges seem to not matter so much. So there is something about facing challenges that produces this spiritual toughness. And you can see this verse in action in the lives of people that are walking through the cycle of discipleship. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, it basically says this, that before someone accepts Jesus as their Lord, they're spiritually dead. When they accept Jesus, when they're saved, they are born again. And I love that term because it's so accurate. Literally, when someone gets saved, they are this spiritual baby. They need someone to come with the bottle, feed them the word, burp them, and change the diapers and go through a lot of diaper filling with them. But you know, as you walk through this, the person, both in the natural and the spiritual, they start to learn to feed themselves. They start to learn to walk on their own two feet. They start to learn to think, to reason, to talk. They start to realize that they have this ability to move their life in the direction that they want it to go. The problem is that when people don't face any challenges, if they never fall down when they're trying to walk, if they never have opposition against those muscles, they don't develop. In the spiritual sense of the concept, if someone never faces a challenge, they stay in this childlike state where, for those of you that have younger kids, you can testify. Kids don't necessarily care what their parents want. Feed me. I want to go to the park. They don't say, what would you like to do today, mother? They are only, and I've met a lot of Christians that are stuck in that state. Oh, you know, the church is just not feeding me. I think I'm going to have to go somewhere. So, I think I must be stepping on some people's toes. Y'all got really quiet when I said that there for a second. They get so self-centered and become these self-centered Christians that when God wants them to reach out, they can't see past their own desires. But as they grow, children in both the natural and the spiritual, they stub their toe. Now, I've gotten to this point in my life where I've stubbed my toes so many times I can almost count on stubbing my toes at some point or another. I expect to stub my toe. But whenever someone first stubs their toe, they cry because they think that they're going to die from this stubbed toe. But after they do it a couple of hundred times, they realize it hurts a little bit, but I'm going to get through it. What is tragic to me is when we have young Christians and thought leaders, and they stub their spiritual toe, and rather than being spiritually tough, they renounce their faith in Jesus Christ because they experienced something that made them uncomfortable. And then they lead because they never developed their own theology and they have only learned about the Bible through singing worship songs at church. Because they have not actually learned to feed themselves the word. When they stub their toe, they renounce their faith. It is a tragic thing. It is a tragic thing whenever people don't understand that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish at work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, God positions through unctions and feelings. He positions through dreams. He positions through challenges. God also positions sometimes using words. Now, this is a Spirit-filled church. We exercise the gifts of the Spirit in almost every service here. And for those of you that have not historically attended a spiritual gifted church, a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit, this is a safe, beautiful place to be. Because you realize that God has more things in operation than people often realize. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and following, it talks about spiritual gifts, and it says this: "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And still to others, an interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." So, let's talk about different types of words. Most of the folks in this room have probably been in one of the services when you see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. There are a lot of times that God uses the gifts of the Spirit to position us mentally, sometimes to position us directionally, sometimes spiritually, but these words are shared with us and it produces change. First one I want to talk about, we're going to talk about three types of words here real quick. Word of prophecy. This is a word that is spoken that deals with either your current situation or a future situation, and it usually brings some sort of direction. For those of you that have been given a prophetic word by someone that operates in a prophetic gifting, that's one of those things that's very encouraging. But you know what? You don't have to have someone else to prophesy to you. Sometimes the Lord prophesies to you. You have to speak that word over yourself. And I want to tell you something about prophecy. What another person speaks over your life has zero power compared to what you speak over your life. So if someone shares a prophetic word with you and you receive it, you can come into agreement with it. But if someone comes up to you and the Lord has showed me you're to be my wife, and you're thinking, I'm not feeling that and I'm not receiving that, then maybe you need to shake that word off. I say that jokingly. I know a lot of people where really the Lord did bring them together, so I don't want to sound narcissistic. I remember I was in Bible school and someone came up and said, the Lord has showed me that you're to be my wife. And the girl turned and said, he should have said that to my husband. So words of prophecy, you have the opportunity to receive them or reject them. One of my favorites, though, is a word of knowledge. This is one of those things where the Lord shares something that there is no way that that person would have known. Like, for me, whenever I was standing in line at Kohl's, that lady probably thinks that I was a lot more certain than I actually was. I was kind of asking the question, are you a minister? And she probably heard, you are a minister! Because, I mean, there was just this guy that was trying to feel out what God was asking him to do, being willing for her to say, nope, say, my bad, I'm trying to hear the voice of God. But that word of knowledge, and then to follow that with trust in transition when she's in the middle of the transition, I realized that even though I was questioning the whole process, God knows exactly what He's doing. So, word of knowledge. Maybe you're praying with someone and you feel something. Be bold. Stand up. Say whatever it is that the Lord's telling you to say. I've had people that have given words regarding specific ailments, regarding business deals. I've heard words of knowledge on so many different subjects that I can't even put it in a box. But then there's the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is one of those things that you've been in a service and maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling encouraged about something, and maybe the Lord leads you to go share something with someone who's got a wayward child, just a word of wisdom of how they could navigate that. Maybe it's in a business deal. I've had a lot of words of wisdom in different business deals, and man, I'll tell you what, when you've got God on your side, it saves you some money. Because there have been situations that looked good, but they weren't God. And whenever we listen to the Holy Spirit and invite Him in, He can guide us and direct us. So maybe when it comes to God's positioning system, you don't think that you're where you should be. The beautiful part about God's GPS is that when you take a wrong turn, He says rerouting. He can get you where you need to go. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to end with this. We had just gone on staff at a really large church, and one of the areas of ministry in my portfolio was children's ministry. And I'm talking about how God uses unspiritual people, how He positions us and directs us sometimes without us realizing it. So, man, I was working probably 80, 90 hours a week, and it was just such a crazy season. And the only time that I really had to connect with my kids was at night, right before bedtime. And a lot of times, whenever I would be spending time with them, it would be as we were loading them into bed, and I would tell them a story just to spend some time with them. And I'd gotten into the habit of inserting my kids into the story. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Zoe and a little boy named Josiah. And then I would insert this life lesson that I was trying to teach him, kiss him on the head, and let him go to sleep. So this, it was a Tuesday night, and man, I was exhausted. I had not taken a day off in probably months. And I remember walking into my kid's room, not wanting to tell a story, just wanting to zone out on the couch and drink a glass of milk. But as I was sitting there, I shared this story with them. And I said, once upon a time, there was this little girl named Zoe and this little boy named Josiah. They were playing and having a wonderful time. Then they looked and they saw this little boy that was over crying. And Zoe and Josiah went over to the little boy and said, "What's wrong, little boy? Why are you crying?" The little boy said, "I don't have any friends. I don't know anyone." And they said, "That's okay. You can come with us." Fast forward to the next night. We were restructuring the children's ministry, and we needed like 40 volunteers each night, and we did not have a good pool of volunteers to pull from. And we had to have two people in each classroom, and if we didn't have two people, we couldn't open the class. And we had about five or six auxiliary volunteers that would show up just in case we didn't have enough people. And like 10 volunteers didn't call, didn't show up. We had exhausted every resource, and I ended up having to go jump in one of the classrooms. And it just happened to be one of the classrooms that my kids were both in. I think that they were 4 and 5 at the time. So I'm trying to direct all these other classrooms and ministries from the edge of this classroom while supervising this other teacher. And suddenly this family shows up, and they have this autistic child that is having just a rough, rough time. The kid is sobbing and crying. And we took the kiddo and we said, "You know what? If he doesn't stop crying after a few minutes, we'll page you. We'll call you and let you know." So they drop this kid off, and he's just having a rough day. And so we finally make the call. We need to call him because he's not calming down. We page this parent. We call this parent. We do put the numbers up on the screen, and the parent is nowhere to be found. And the kid is just sobbing, and my heart was breaking. And all of a sudden, my two kids walked over, and they said, "What's wrong, little boy? Why are you crying?" And I watched this parable from the night before unfold, and I was wrecked. I was worthless. I mean, I'm sitting there, people are like, "What's wrong with that guy? He's sobbing over there." I'm like, "Jesus!" But God taught me several things. He absolutely has the power to use a child to transform a life. He cared so much about that autistic kid that was having a rough time that He prepared two kids around his same age. God positioned them. And he used someone that was not spiritual to do it.